Today is the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany, and the readings are from Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verses 15 through 20, 1 Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 1 through 13, and the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Today's message is titled, Teaching with Authority. Hear the Scripture, the Word of God from Deuteronomy, chapter 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die. The Lord said to me, What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death. Here ends our first lesson. Our second lesson is from the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at the first verse. Now, about food sacrificed to idols. We know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols. We know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. But not everyone knows this. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. If anyone with a weak conscience sees you, who have this knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother, for whom Christ died, is destroyed by your knowledge when you sin against your brother in this way and wound their weak conscience. You sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall. Here ends our second lesson, the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 1, beginning at the 21st verse. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of him. The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all amazed, all so amazed that they asked each other, What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Here ends the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us. In your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, it's on the move. Moving fast with Greek word ethos. Ethos, translated as immediately. No time to waste, must get going, ever moving forward. That is the sense in Mark's writing of Peter's witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 10 times in Mark chapter 1, euthus is written. And with this urgency is written 39 times in Mark's short 16 chapters. Only chapters 12, 13, and 16, this Greek word is not found. Every other chapter, you find this Greek word at least once, euthus, and sometimes many more. The translations from the Greek into the English, they miss this sense of ever moving forward with purpose and energy. Purpose and urgency. This energy of movement in Mark, this verve of the narration of the events of Jesus' life, is mostly diminished. It's diminished, if not somewhat lost, as the Greek is translated into the English. This characteristic of Mark's writing keeps the listener, the reader, on edge as they hear the gospel eagerly and anxiously, wanting to know more, wanting to know what comes next. This characteristic is difficult to bring into the English language. But here's a little sense of it. It's just from Mark chapter 1 portions. Immediately coming out of the water. Immediately the Spirit impelled him. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately called them and they left their father. Immediately on the Sabbath. Immediately the news about him spread. Immediately after they came out of the synagogue. Immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. Immediately the leprosy left him. Immediately sent him away. That's all in chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark. With this immediately moving us, it's a display of authority also at the same time, especially in the first half of the Gospel of Mark. It's put on view the authority of Jesus expressed in his words and through his actions. Add to this Mark's oftentimes writing in the historical present. The historical present in the Greek is often translated with an English past tense. In order to conform to modern usage, the translators recognize that in some contexts, the present tense seems more unexpected and unjustified to the English reader than a past tense would have been. But Greek authors frequently use the present tense for the sake of heightened vividness, thereby transporting their readers in imagination to the actual scene of the time of the occurrence. However, the translators felt that it would be wise to change this historical presence to English past tenses. That's the explanation from a note in the New American Standard Bible 1995 translation. Mark writes in this manner to transport you, take you right into the moment as the action unfolds, so that you too will be an eyewitness of what unfolds, right there before your eyes, so that you will have first-person experience of the authority of Jesus displayed through his words and his actions. Now, Jesus and his disciples, they've gone to Capernaum. On the Sabbath in the synagogue, Jesus begins teaching. Interestingly to note, nothing is written about what scripture Jesus read that morning. And nothing's written about Jesus and what he spoke about. There's nothing about the content of Jesus' teaching from the scripture. But the setting there is set to show Jesus' authority. Authority in the Greek is the word exousia. Exousia. Authority is the power to act. Jesus' words carry behind them a compelling power. A power to act. a power that moves to action in heart and in a soul. Let's step back a few verses, and this is from the New American Standard Bible, 1995. Stepping back to Mark chapter 1, verse 16, the calling of the disciples. As he, that is Jesus, was going along the sea, by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending their nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. The actions of Simon and Andrew are displays of Jesus' authority. The actions of James and John are displays of this authority of Jesus too. Jesus said, "Come, follow me." And they did. Immediately they left their nets. What is it about this man, Jesus, that would take another man from his family business, a business in the family for generations, to drop it all and just walk away? Place yourself in the context of the time. When this call, "Come, follow me," was given, it was understood that you would be leaving your old life behind to walk with, to accompany the one saying this to you. The understanding of dropping all to be a learner, to be a disciple, to be with the teacher at all times, wherever the teacher may wander and roam. That is the common experience of people of this time. Something compelling in the call. Has that compelling call of the gospel of Jesus Christ grabbed hold of you in similar manner? Come, follow me. The Greek word translated as "come" is an exclamatory word. "Come" has an exclamation point attached to it. "Hither!" Exclamation point. Have you ever heard Victor Borge share his phonetic punctuation? Have you ever heard of his phonetic punctuation? Older generation may have, younger generation, you can find it on YouTube. Victor Borge, phonetic punctuation. And Borge describes his phonetic punctuation in this manner. Quoting, "Punctuation marks can be very confusing. That is why I have invented a way by which we can hear punctuation marks as well as see them. And here is how it works." And then he went on to explain each punctuation mark by shape and that demonstrates the sound with that shape. Hearing Victor Borge read a passage with the audible punctuation is fabulously funny. And it also, though, at the same time, gives a clearer picture of what the passage actually is communicating. This is what delving into the Greek of the Bible by way of an interlinear does. An interlinear New Testament has the Bible text in the Greek with the English translation right underneath. The Greek word order is preserved, and the resulting English is usually out of order of what we're used to speaking. In English, the word order matters. For example, "dog bites man" means the dog bit the man. Switch the order. "Man bites dog." It means the total opposite. The man bit the dog. Word order matters in English. In the Greek, word order does not matter. It is the tense of the word. It is the shape and form of the word that indicates whether it's the subject, the verb as such, and so forth. The interlinear will also show you that oftentimes a single Greek word, to be properly expressed in English, it becomes a multi-word phrase. One Greek word is now a phrase of many words in English. It is easy to make use of an interlinear on the internet. I invite you to go home later today and search interlinear Mark 1. Just type in interlinear Mark 1. And it'll bring up lots of choices. And go to a webpage that has it. And experience for yourself the depth of expression that is in the scripture as written in the Greek by Mark. This will help you understanding the fullness of meaning expressed by the Greek word. Sometimes it's not able to be communicated in the English word as translated. Come is an exclamatory word which moved the four fishermen to follow Jesus, showing that behind that word come is authority. That same authority behind the words of Jesus as he's teaching in the synagogue. It draws forth a response. Amazement, astonishment, literally means at a loss from witnessing the incredible. Those in the synagogue have never experienced such a teacher as this. Their scribes have never spoken thusly. Now, consider this. Who can speak the most authoritatively about a book? The writer of the book or a reader of the book? Who can speak most authoritatively? The author or a commentator who has read the book? In the synagogue, in that synagogue, on that Sabbath morning, was the author of the scriptures. Let that dive deeply and deeply, deeply into your heart and settle into your soul. Of course, Jesus would be teaching with authority as they have never heard before. The author of the scripture is teaching them about the scripture, what it means. Verse 1, Mark chapter 1, verse 23. In English, but this is in the Greek word order. Mark chapter 1, verse 23. In English, but the Greek word order. And immediately there was in the synagogue of them a man with a spirit unclean, and he cried out. The teaching with authority of Jesus is now being shown forth by the immediate reaction of an unclean spirit in the man. The unclean spirit cries, "What to us and to you?" This is a Hebrew idiom. That's the Greek. What to us and to you? It's a Hebrew idiom. And these are some idioms you most likely know, and very likely at one time or another in your life have said this. A taste of your own medicine. You made your bed, you have to lie in it. Cat got your tongue? Crying wolf. Easier said than done. Finding a needle in a haystack? Fish out of water. Go down in flames. Now, straight from the horse's mouth, the idiom here, what to us and to you, means you have no business with me. So mind your own business. In other words, leave me alone. Don't butt into my business. What is it to you and to me? You have no business with me. Mind your own business. Don't butt in my business. That is what the unclean spirit is saying. Those in the synagogue, they're amazed at the authority of Jesus speaking as he teaches. The unclean spirit recognizes and knows who is speaking and teaching. It says straight forth in verse 24, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God!" Exclamation point. That exclamation point is there in the Greek. Don't pass by these words too fast of the unclean spirit. The unclean spirit says, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Ligonier Ministries began describing the meaning of Holy One of God in this manner, quoting them. The title Holy One of God means that Jesus is infinitely and absolutely holy, fully and perfectly defined. He is transcendent and majestic. He came down from above to save sinners, yet he is set apart from sinners in that he is completely sinless, without any moral blemish, perfect in all his ways. His being is holy. His character is holy. His mind is holy. His motives are holy. His words are holy. His actions are holy. His ways are holy. His judgments are holy. Are holy from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, every inch, every ounce, the totality, the sum and substance of the second person of the Godhead is equal holy with God the Father. That's Ligonier Ministries. Holiness. Holiness speaks to the profound difference between what Jesus fully and truly is and us. And its difference is so great and profound, we're really not able to comprehend nor understand. And even the more profound difference between Jesus and the unclean spirit in the man. Jesus now demonstrates concretely his authority, rebuking the unclean spirit. Be quiet! And with the words meaning to muzzle, to put to silence. Jesus, in his authority, muzzles the unclean spirit, forces the unclean spirit into silence. Then, Jesus says, come forth out of him! Exclamation point. The exclamation point is there in the Greek. With one last battle strike, the unclean spirit throws the man down in spasms and shrieks as it does so. Then the man, after this violent shaking, is lying on the floor before the gaping mouths and wide eyes of the witnesses of this great commotion in their midst in the synagogue. What is this new teaching? What authority even the unclean spirits he commands, and they obey him. Exclamation point is in the Greek there too. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen, and you shall listen to him. Recall all the Lord worked through Moses, the 10 plagues in Egypt, bringing them to their knees and delivering Israel. Remember the Red Sea parting and all Israel crossing across on dry land. Remember the manna, the quail, water from the rocks. Remember the giving of the covenant and the directions for the tabernacle and the way to worship the Lord. All evidence of the authority given to Moses as prophet of the Lord. Now in a small synagogue in the town of Capernaum, a display of authority in action, the prophet Moses foretold is coming. It's coming here. Listen to him. Remember the Lord sending Moses, as it's written in Scripture of Exodus chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses was asking, what authority would he have to speak to Pharaoh in such manner to deliver Israel? The Lord answered, I will be with you. The sign, when it's all said and done, you will be here at this same mountain with all Israel in worship. As Moses is sent to deliver, Jesus is sent to deliver. This time is a greater deliverance, the deliverance from sin and death, to be brought into the promised land of eternal life in the very presence of God. Now cloud and fire on the mountaintop are hiding the presence of God from eyes. But in that time to come, we will be in the very presence of living God to worship and enjoy for the entirety of what is to come, and will be face to face. Nothing hidden, nothing separating us, for Jesus has come and delivered us from sin and death. As it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 53, for the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Jesus' teaching with authority is to be expected, for Jesus is the Holy One of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the Redeemer, Savior, the Lord. The authority shown this Sabbath morning in the synagogue is just the beginning of greater things. In this synagogue in Capernaum is a glimpse of what is to come through the authority of Jesus, who is the Christ. With authority, even the unclean spirits he commands, and they obey him! Exclamation point. Place yourself as hearing this gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, being drawn into the action of the words Mark has written, coming into your ears as the ear words are read aloud to you, words that are grabbing at you, words that are drawing you, words that are digging into your being. Even the unclean spirits obey him. Tell me more. I want to know more. I want to know that this Jesus, whom even the unclean spirits obey him, I want to know him. I want to follow him, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Amen and amen.